Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a special post-game edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790, and as we bring you this show, the Rockets have just polished off a big win in Dallas to move to 5-1 on the preseason. There were bits and pieces in the middle of the game where it got a little hairy. You can certainly nitpick with the performance of the second unit of the Rockets off the bench, which let the Mavs back in the game after a 26-8 start. Really, the starters just blitzed Dallas out of the gate. But by and large, I think you have to feel very positive about this game if you're a Rockets fan and how well this team seems to be clicking as the regular season opener looms just 1 week away in Los Angeles next Wednesday night. Now, I know some of you may have been watching the presidential debate instead of this game. I heard it was a very bigly one, but it was also a very bigly performance for the Rockets, I thought, and two guys in particular, Clint Capela and James Harden. And again, you can certainly nitpick with a few of the backups in this game, but by and large, if you're a Rockets fan, I think you feel great about this performance because with this basketball team, there are two guys that are head and shoulders the most important for this franchise, and those are James Harden and Clint Capela. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that Capela is the second best player. He certainly could be. We'll see how his development takes him. But given his age, given his upside, given the position rarity of having a young center with promise, I would say that after James Harden, he is the second most important Rocket. So to see a game against a quality opponent on the road, the Mavs were playing pretty much all their regulars, and at home, at a bare minimum, the Mavs should be a team that's competing for the playoffs. And so to see your two flagship guys have a game like Harden and Capela did tonight, it really has to make you feel good. And I'm going to start with Capela. Second straight dominant performance from him. Saturday night, even though he just played 11 minutes, limited by the sore hamstring that kept him out of the second game in China, he put up 9-9 in 11 minutes. Tonight, in 24 minutes against Andrew Bogut, strong, strong numbers for Clint. 12 points, 6 of 10 shooting, 13 rebounds. And by comparison, against Andrew Bogut, Bogut in 25 minutes, generally all played against Capela. Capela out-rebounded him 13-7, outscored him 12-6. Generally, Capela outplayed one of the better defensive centers and one of the better all-around centers in the game. So this is a huge win for Clint. Really, he's just been a rebounding machine, and that's great to see if you're a Rocket because you know Ryan Anderson wants to play away from the basket. He wants to stretch the floor. So can Clint have some success inside? It's not just the defensive rebounds. We had 9 of them. Clint had 4 offensive rebounds in 24 minutes, and that's a big figure, again, when you have a stretch four that's playing as far away from the basket as Ryan Anderson often is. So to see Capela play that well against Andrew Bogut, great sign. I said this on Twitter during the game. I would be absolutely floored if Clint Capela is not your starting center next Wednesday night in Los Angeles when the Rockets open the regular season against the Lakers. I know they haven't declared a starter. I know Nene has gotten a couple of starts in the preseason. I think it's because Clint, at his age, they want him to earn the job. I think Nene, after giving the Rockets such a sweetheart deal in the offseason, they certainly want to give him the opening to compete. And it's not that Nene has played poorly. He's 18 of 26 from the field, I believe. So certainly he can be a very quality big man in this league. But Capela is able to play on both ends in a way that Nene simply cannot. Nene, Saturday night, the loss to the Grizzlies, I believe he's minus 23, very slow on defense. Wednesday night in Dallas, he had to rest. Well, I shouldn't say he had to rest. They chose to rest him because Nene is 34 years old, and of course you don't want to overextend him. But I've said all along, the easiest way to cap Nene at the 20 to 25 minutes per game that you need to keep him at in order to make him healthy and to retain his effectiveness, the easiest way to control Nene's minutes is to make Capela your starter. Because if you start someone like Nene, it's so easy to overextend those minutes, because if the game starts like it did today with an 18-2 run, 26-8 run, then the temptation is to keep those starters together. And before you know it, you know, Nene's played 9 minutes in the first quarter, and it doesn't take much more to get to 30 when you look at how the rest of the game's rotation is going to go. So if you want to manage Nene's minutes, it's best to keep him on the bench. And really, besides managing minutes, Capella's just been the better all-around player. Nene has clear deficiencies defensively. You might can manage those a little bit too if you put him against backups. But against starters, you need to be able to move laterally. Clint can do that. Also a better rebounder again tonight. 13 in 24 minutes. The other night, he had 9 in 11 minutes. So a really strong run from Clint Capella, and I would be floored if he is not your starting center when the regular season opens. I think he's clearly earned this job, and really, he's been your second-best player in the preseason when he's been healthy. Now, your best player, of course, that's James Harden. I didn't want to lead with Harden because I think everyone who listens to this show knows that, well, James Harden is one of the best players in the league. He was MVP of the league just 2 seasons ago when he was voted that by his peers, his fellow players. Tonight, 8 of 14, 23 points, 11 assists in his 29 minutes, 4 turnovers, but that's down from the last couple of games. Most important part of the game for me, for Harden, 8 of 14 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, actually started 2 of 4, I believe. James, his last 3 games, the 2 in China and the 1 back, he was still a good distributor, very heady. But as I said on the show, it didn't seem like he had his legs. His shooting percentage was in the low 30s. He had a lot of turnovers, or it seemed like he just didn't have his usual lift. Those three-point shots were short, a lot of passes. He didn't really leave the floor. And again, it's justifiable because this is a guy who's played a ton of minutes. He flew halfway around the world to play 2 games that were at 6:30 in the morning body time. And then basically 48 hours after getting back from a 16-hour plane flight, he's put out there to play in Houston. Who knows what time his body thinks it is. And again, he just looked a little flat. And if this were a normal preseason, you'd say, well, is he in shape? Is he ready to go? I'm not buying that, because we know James Harden's in great shape. We've seen him working out in the offseason. He looks absolutely ripped, was fantastic the first 2 games in Toyota Center. So the easiest way to explain those 3 off performances, at least from an efficiency standpoint, is to say that, you know what, he's probably not all there. So, again, you can say that, but the flip side, and I said this Saturday night, is that when he does have time to rest, you want to see him respond. The Rockets last played Saturday night. They had basically 96 hours before taking the court again on Wednesday night in Dallas. And really, this was the James Harden we saw against the Shanghai Sharks and the New York Knicks. He was absolutely dominant. MVP form, again, 23 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds in 29 minutes, over 50% shooting from the field. Fantastic performance from James, and it's one that makes you think that as long as he doesn't have any 15, 16-hour plane flights, he is in peak form and ready to go when the regular season opens next Wednesday. I haven't even mentioned Ryan Anderson yet, who had a team-best plus 15 in terms of plus-minus. 4 of 7 from 3, 14 points in 20 minutes. Now, it seems like all of those came in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, but it was really satisfying to watch because I had Mike Marshall, a guest from Dallas, on this show yesterday. He's a host for 1310 The Ticket up there. And it was interesting because he said that he thought Ryan Anderson was an easier cover for Dirk Nowitzki than some of the versatile power forwards the Rockets have thrown out there in recent years, referring to Terrence Jones, Josh Smith, guys that could operate the pick and roll and challenge Dirk side to side in terms of his defensive versatility, his lateral quickness. Ryan Anderson, he's not a pick and roll power forward in the sense of he's going to run the pick and roll. Now, certainly he can be the shooter in the pick and roll and set that pick, but he showed with his range, yes, he can still challenge Dirk. He may not take him off the dribble, but Ryan Anderson's range is not just three-point range. This is a guy who can shoot from 25, 26 feet. And I know Dirk is not in regular season form at his age. He's not committing everything to the preseason. But just because Ryan Anderson can't challenge you side to side the way Terrence Jones and Josh Smith does not mean he's an easy cover. He's a very athletic power forward. He's got a ton of range, and he absolutely torched Dirk early in this game. Cooled off later on, but again, I think Ryan, he looks in regular season form. For Ryan, he's a guy, his points come in burst. And really, a lot of it's because of how the defense plays him. when he has that burst, and tonight he had it in the opening 4 minutes of the game when the Rockets got off to that crazy start, defenses play him differently. It becomes obvious that you can't leave him the way Dirk did early in that game, and so they rotate harder. And so, yes, Ryan Anderson might miss a few shots after that, but it opens up the driving lanes more for James Harden, for Eric Gordon, and for the penetrators that the Rockets have. So even though Ryan, yeah, 4 of 7 from 3, that's great. 4 of 9 from the field, it means he missed his last 4 or 5 shots. All in all, definitely a positive performance for him in his 20 minutes. I also like that they capped his minutes because I think it was the third game that he played 38 minutes, and that's a little much for anyone in the preseason, especially a veteran like Ryan. You know what he can do, so there's no reason to overextend him all that much in this situation. Slight negatives, Eric Gordon, 4 of 11, 2 of 7 from 3. He's been pretty good this preseason, so I'm not worried about one off night from the field from a shooting perspective. Where I'm more worried about Gordon is in playing next to James Harden. Now, I think Gordon will fit in just fine because all it would take is a couple of more of those threes rattling in, and his line is really good. And overall, he's still at a plus-minus of plus 15. So it was the team certainly did not suffer with Gordon on the floor. I guess my critique of Gordon's performance would be that you did not have him off the bench, and that's where the Rockets struggled in this game. Late in the first quarter, for most of the second quarter, Corey Brewer, Sam Decker, I mentioned in the earlier show today about Pat Beverly's absence that those were the guys who need to step up to anchor the bench. They certainly did not tonight. Corey Brewer, 0 of 2 from the field. Team worst, minus 9 overall. Decker, 1 of 4, minus 8. Not a great game for either of them. So you do wonder who is going to be that offensive anchor. You could potentially stagger the minutes from Harden and Gordon. That's an option to maybe get Gordon a little bit in that attacking role more. Another thing that you have to wait and see on is, would Nene playing or Donatus Mata-Yunus, if the Rockets are able to re-sign him at any point, would that make a difference in terms of that second unit's offensive efficiency to where maybe Gordon as your starting point guard, starting shooting guard, whatever you want to call it, I'm just going to say starting guard next to James Harden, can be more palatable? That's the real question for this team. Now, the good thing, it wasn't all bad for the bench. KJ McDaniels, 28 minutes, 5 of 8 from the field, 10 points in those 28 minutes, plus 14 off the bench in fairly limited minutes. Great night for him. Had a couple of great blocks, one in particular off the backboard. Just a tremendous night for KJ. And one of the more subtle changes that they made, instead of bringing Decker in first off the bench as kind of your backup power forward in the second half, you had KJ McDaniels, and it gave you a little bit more defensive versatility. Because really in this game, they were without Nene. Not that Nene is a dynamite defender, but I would say he's a little better than Montrezl Harrell, who's your backup center with Nene out. And the combination of Decker at power forward, where he's undersized and inexperienced, with Harrell at center, who's undersized, inexperienced, and doesn't necessarily have the best defensive IQ, The Mavs clearly had driving lanes when that was your pairing. So when you instead went to McDaniels and then moved Trevor Ariza to your stretch four, the defense seemed a lot tighter. And really, even if Brewer and Decker, you know, those guys are hit or miss, they're certainly going to have their bright spots offensively. There are going to be others when they might be cold as they were tonight, but you can survive some of the cold stretches if the other team is not scoring at will like Dallas did for a big chunk of that first half against the reserves. So maybe the key is to stagger those guys where you're not putting, you know, two or three black holes defensively at one time. Because in the second half, when the Rockets put in McDaniels first, slid Ariza up, instead of losing lead, they were able to expand that lead. So I think that was my main takeaway in terms of the defense's inefficiency. You had Decker, Harrell, I expect them to be a little subpar defensively, especially early in the year. It's not just that they're undersized, it's that they're inexperienced. Tyler Ennis, I don't think he's going to be a rotation player once it kicks off. He was tonight because, of course, the injury to Beverly, which is probably going to last a couple more weeks, but also the injury to Pablo Prigioni. And so when Ennis, Harrell, and Decker were out there, to a lesser extent, Corey Brewer, this wasn't one of his better games, that's when the Rockets struggled defensively. I did think they made adjustments in the second half, and the results were much more promising for this team. Other thing, haven't touched about, Trevor Ariza, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3, just 3 points in 26 minutes. Not a great showing from him, but at this point, you know who Trevor Ariza is. He's one of the guys that I'm least watching in the preseason because he has very little to prove. Now, certainly once the regular season starts, you want to see Ariza's percentages pick up. You want to see hopefully his defense get back to the way it was before last year. A lot of people speculate that Ariza's defensive fall off was related to the culture. Others wonder if now that he's on the other side of 30, did he lose a step? A lot remains to be seen there, but I'm not really following Trevor Ariza that closely in the preseason. There's no new role for him. He's not competing for playing time. He knows exactly who he is, and he's the kind of guy, same team, same role, same position. Of every single player on this Houston Rockets roster, he probably has the least to prove in the preseason, so I'm not really drawing any major conclusions as far as Trevor Ariza's subpar shooting performance on Wednesday night. Main thing, Rockets played very well. We did see a lot of the regulars, Gordon, Harden, Capella, Ryan Anderson, Ariza, all played 20 more minutes. KJ McDaniels did as well. We heard Mike D'Antoni say when they got back from China, they don't see enough preseason games to take off. They want to see these guys as much as they can, especially with all the new parts and all the new roles. So in a game that a lot of regulars played for both Houston and Dallas, Rockets won 106-91 by 15 points. I think you feel pretty good about it. There are certainly tweaks you want to make with the bench, but the Rockets have one more game against San Antonio on Friday night, and sounds like they're going to treat that game aggressively as well. We heard before tonight that it was a big night for Tyler Ennis with Beverly out and Pablo Prigioni out. Ennis played 16 minutes, had 7 points, but just 1 of 4 shooting, 3 assists in those 16 minutes. Really, I think he was most vulnerable defensively. I saw Devin Harris blow by him at will, it seemed like, in that first half when the Mavs really got some traction. So I think right now with Beverly out, as well as Pablo Prigioni played those two games in China, and as much as Mike D'Antoni trusts him to run that offense, I think Prigioni, once the regular season opens up, is clearly that that next point guard in line, not Tyler Ennis. But I think after him missing this past week, the Rockets would love to see Prigioni get some time with the regulars, and they'll do that Friday night in San Antonio as they close out the preseason. Yes, it's, you know, you're playing your regulars a decent amount, not superhuman, because again, nobody played 30 plus minutes. Again, the Ryan Anderson playing 38 minutes as he did once in China, it, you know, those rotations are over. Everyone seems to be capped, but I think their regulars will play a healthy amount, and then they'll have almost a full week off after Friday night in San Antonio. They will not play again until the regular season opener on Wednesday night in Los Angeles next week against the Lakers in a nationally televised game. Anyway, that's about it for this post-game edition of Locked on Rockets. Again, I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked on Rockets, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. You can follow the show at Locked on Rockets. You can always email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me or if you'd like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor for the show and all the great dedicated listeners that we have. So thanks to all of you guys for listening. I appreciate it so much. We've had a lot of content this week with our Mavs preview because, again, this Mavs game, I think you feel good about the matchup heading into next weekend when you play the Mavs in Game 2 and Game 3 of the regular season for real, just in starting in 9 days. So I think you feel good about that matchup. We had Mike Marshall of Locked on Mavs on yesterday. We had a show earlier today about Pat Beverly's knee, the updates we've heard about him potentially needing surgery. We haven't heard if that's actually going to go through or not. I would anticipate in the next 2 or 3 days, the Rockets giving us a final update on that and finally a precise timetable. But again, thank you so much for listening. I hope that we give you a lot of good value, and I hope that you continue to tune in the future. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked on Rockets. Happy final tonight from Dallas. Rockets 106, Mavs 91. Rockets 5-1 in the preseason, and I will talk to you again after Friday night's game in San Antonio when the Rockets will finally close out this preseason and get ready for the regular season in just a few short days. Good night.